And the whole church said, thank you, Anthony, for those songs. We do welcome everyone here this morning. As has already been said, if you are among us as a visitor, we are delighted to have you here. And after we are dismissed, please don't hurry out the door real quickly, because we want to meet you and get to know you a little bit better, invite you back to other services of the church here. We do want you to know that the Tuttle Church of Christ is a place of faith, family, and friends. Amen? Amen. I want you to open your Bibles, your New Testament, to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. I want us to begin with this exciting passage of Scripture. Because as you're reading through the book of Colossians, it would be just very easy to read through Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 without pausing for a moment to think about that. Notice he says in chapter 2 and verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were all also raised with him through faith, in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. You see what that passage says? He says you were buried with him in baptism. You were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. You know, this passage tells us that baptism is an act of faith. He says you're buried with him in baptism. You were raised up with him in baptism through faith in the working of God. Baptism is a demonstration of faith. You know, it is not as our religious friends and neighbors would have us to believe when you began to talk about baptism. Oh, that's a work. Oh, that's a meritorious work. Oh, you're just trying to earn your way to heaven. This passage says that we are buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith. Through faith in what? Through faith in the working of God. Because when you come to the New Testament and start connecting those passages that talk about baptism, you realize that in that very moment, God is doing an amazing work. And think about this. Every time you witness a baptism, remember this verse. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. God is at work in that very moment. And he is at work in a very amazing way. For example, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says that we are, as many of you as have been baptized, you've been baptized into Christ. There is a transition that takes place. That as we go down into that water, and notice all of this operation is by faith. It is by faith. As we go down into that water, we go at that moment in a state where we are outside of Christ. But as we are baptized, we are baptized into Christ. It moves our position from outside of Christ to into Christ. That's an amazing work that God does at that very moment. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, as Peter was preaching to the crowd, he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You with wicked hands to take and crucify the Son of God. And there were those in that very moment who were pierced. They were convicted. They were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter says to them, you repent and you be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then what's going to happen? It's going to be for the forgiveness of sins, the amazing work through faith, the amazing work that God will perform at that very moment is the forgiveness of sins. You will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Oh, there's another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, that we are new creatures in Christ. Those old things that have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Look at what he says. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Baptism is a demonstration of faith. It is our faith in the working of God. It is our faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I want you to move from that verse and go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you were raised with Christ, how were you raised with Christ? Go back to chapter 2 and verse 12. Raised with him in baptism. If then you were raised with Christ, how is our life to be? What transition, what transformation takes place in our life? He says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I want you to see there, as you look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it is that we have been raised with him. So now he says, you seek and you set. You seek and you set. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You know, that word seek carries with it the idea of searching, to search for. It is somebody who is diligently seeking, somebody who is diligently searching. Have you ever lost something? And you are just like turning the house upside down, searching for this. And you say, I have looked everywhere. I've looked in every corner. I've looked in every cabinet. I have looked in every closet. I have looked in every crack and every crevice. And I just have been searching for this. That's the idea. That's the idea of seeking. Seeking those things that are above. Searching for those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Do we seek and do we search that diligently in that way? Because look at what he says. He says in verse 1, you seek those things that are above, where Christ is. We are seeking those things where Christ is. We are searching for those things that diligently where Christ is. You know, think about what Jesus has done for us. We've gone through the Lord's Supper, this communion, the body and the blood of the Lord. And that reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. And our minds go back and we begin to reflect and we remember those passages in the New Testament that teach us how Jesus was arrested, how he went through the mockery of a trial. Oh, he was spit upon. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was shamed. And then he took that road to the cross. And there he was nailed to the cross for you and for me. And that is where our Savior is in heaven. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is. That's where our Savior is, sitting at the right hand of God. And then notice he says in verse 2, it is to have a mindset. We seek, we search for those things that are above, but our mindset, having our mindset, he says, having your mindset on those things that are above and not on those things that are on the earth. What do we spend our time, as Christians, what do we spend our time thinking about? If somebody were to say to you as a Christian, what is your mind really focused on? And that word set there carries with it the idea of fixing your mind, concentrating, focus. Somebody says, what are you really focused on mentally? What are you really fixed on? What is your mind spending the most time thinking about? What would we say? Would this passage of Scripture come to us just that quickly and say, listen, my mind is set. My mind is fixed on those things that are above. Or do we say that right now? Or have we, somewhere along the line, since the beginning of this lesson, our mind has trailed off to other thoughts and activities of the day? Fixed, set, concentrate on those things that are above, he says, and not on those things that are on the earth. You know, as you read through the New Testament, you realize there are good reasons, spiritual reasons, eternal reasons why my mind needs to be fixed and set on those things that are above. One of the reasons is because that's where our treasure is. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. But he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. In other words, you lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, and there's nothing in this world or out of this world that can touch it. Is that how we view our treasure? I have my mind set on those things that are above because that's where my treasure is. Or do we begin to think about those things that are material and those things that are earthly, and we begin to look at our at the house we live in and the car we drive and the property that we own and the prosperity that we have, and we began to look at all of this and we say, that's my treasure. All of these things that I've accumulated and all of these things that I own and I have and I use, all of these things are my treasure. Is that the way we sometimes find ourselves thinking? And our mind then is on those things that are on the earth? We set our minds, we fix our minds on those things that are above because that's where our treasure is. But I want you to notice, secondly, we fix our minds on those things that are above because that's where our citizenship is. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul writing there, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says to those people there, and he says to us, listen, our citizenship, and he's speaking to Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. We are, in reality, In the final analysis, we are, as Christians, citizens of heaven. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to those people. Those people had dual citizenship. Paul had dual citizenship. He was a Roman citizen by birth, but he was also a citizen of heaven. And we, living in this country, we have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of the United States of America, but as Christians, and more importantly, we are citizens of heaven. That's where our citizenship is. There are passages that remind us that we are pilgrims, we are sojourners. Who does that describe? That describes somebody who's just passing through. Look, I don't live here. I am a pilgrim. I am a sojourner. I'm just on my way. I'm just on my travels to someplace else. We sing that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." That's a pilgrim. That's a sojourner. That's somebody who's just passing through to someplace else. We have our minds set on those things that are above because that's where our citizenship is. And then we also fix our minds and set our minds on those things that are above because that's where our inheritance is. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, we have an inheritance, writing to Christians, an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved. Now I want you to notice the last part of this. This inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. But notice the next statement. This inheritance, written to Christians, is reserved in heaven for you. I want you to underline that word, reserved. He says it very clearly. He says to Christians, this inheritance is in heaven, and it is reserved for you. In other words, it has your name on it. I think most of us at one time or another, traveling, maybe we've taken an overnight trip or a trip where there's several overnights. You know, you've been there. You've taken that kind of trip. And you're thinking about when we arrive at a certain point here, and you're kind of thinking ahead, we arrive at a certain point here, where are we going to stay? Well, we don't know when we're going to get there. Oh, so the better part of wisdom says, well, I think we need to call ahead, and we're going to call that motel or that hotel. And what we're going to do is reserve a room. When you reserve a room, what do? They put your name on it. They put your name on it. And so now as you're driving up there, you're more relaxed. Maybe you're enjoying the trip even more because you're looking ahead and you already know when I get there, I have a room that has my name on it. It is reserved for me. That's the idea. As we, as Christians, travel through this life and the circumstances of life and the experiences of life, and our mind is set, we're focused, and we're moving ahead toward those things that are eternal, what are we thinking about? I've got an inheritance. I've got an inheritance that is reserved. I've got an inheritance that has my name on it. Well, where is this inheritance? Tell us about it. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. Set your mind on those things that are above, because that's where your inheritance is. And then also set your mind on those things that are above, because that's where your hope is. That's where your hope is. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, The hope, it is that hope in Christ. It is that hope that we live by. He says, that hope which is laid up in heaven for you. Hope. We sing that song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." If your hope and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then that's going to take us from here to there. Our mind is set on those things that are above, because that's where our treasure is, our citizenship, our inheritance, our hope. And why wouldn't we be concentrating on those things that are that significant and that eternal? So he says, set your mind on those things that are above and not on those things that are on the earth. You know, if we were to make a chart of our thinking time, and this chart really revealed our thinking time, how much time we think are thinking about things of the earth, and how much time are we thinking about those things of heaven? How much thinking time would we spend in each place? Is it more on those things that are on the earth, or is it more on those things that are in heaven? Can you think of some examples of those who are in Scripture, who you read about them and you say, well, obviously the mindset was not, it was not those things of heaven. Their mindset was those things that are up on the earth. One example that comes to mind maybe is Luke chapter 12, where you read about the rich farmer. And you read about the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, and what you read about him, you come to the conclusion that everything that he had, all of the prosperity that he experienced, he received honestly. There wasn't any crooked deals, there wasn't any cheating. It was him out there by the work of his hands and by the sweat of his brow. He's working. And he is diligently laboring out there in the field. And he has this bumper crop, he has this prosperity. And he realizes that it is such an abundance that his old barns are not adequate. What am I going to do with all of this, Anthony? I'm going to tear down my old barns. They're not adequate. I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build new barns. And there I'm going to notice, I'm going to store all of my crops and all of my goods. Well, as you read through all of that prosperity part, do you find him thinking anything about God? Can you find that in there? God who supplied the rain, God gave the sunshine, thank God for the soil. All of that worked together for the growing of his prosperity. Not one thought of thanksgiving to God. Do you see him thinking about anybody else? you know, I've got such prosperity here, and I have such an abundance here, I think I'm going to share it with a widow down the road. Or you know, there's an orphan across the way. Or, you know, here's somebody living down here. I think what I'm going to do with my prosperity is I'm just going to go down there and I'm just going to bless their life. Do you see any of that in this? No, you don't. He's not thanking God. And he's not blessing the life of anybody else. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down the old barns, I'm going to build new barns, and there I'm going to store all of my crops and all of my goods, and I'm going to say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That was it. With all of this prosperity, that was his philosophy. I'm going to take my ease, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And what does God say? God says, you're a fool. You are an absolute fool. This night, your soul is going to be required of thee, and all these things that you've accumulated and all this prosperity is just going to be given to somebody else. Here is an example of one who set his mind on those things on the earth. So much to the very point that God says, you are a fool. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that category. God's assessment, you're a fool. You know, there's another example along this line. It seemed to be so promising. In Matthew chapter 19, we read about the rich young ruler. Think about this young man and how this starts off so promising. And he comes to Jesus. He's coming to the right source. Now remember, he's rich, he's young, he's a ruler, he's got it all. But he begins to think about eternal life. He comes to Jesus, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, we would just delight at people coming up with that question. Byron, they come up and say, Byron, what must I do to have eternal life? Yes, thank you. He asked that. He comes to Jesus, the right source. He's asking the right question. And Jesus says to him, keep the commandments. Referring to the Old Testament. And the young man says, these commandments I've kept from my youth up. I mean, everything at this point looks so promising. Coming to the right person, asking the spiritual question. He has been living by the commandments of God. What lack I yet? If you would be perfect, go sell what you have. Give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. How does that end? You know how that ends. His mindset at the beginning was on those things above. What must I do to have eternal life? But it ended with his mindset on those things that are on the earth. He says, this young man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. And so, what is the conclusion here? What is the reason? Look at verse 3. He says, for you have died. You have died. Seek those things that are above. Set your mind on those things that are above. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Baptism is the point there where we die. We die. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Seek those things that are above. Set your mind on those things that are above. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, I think there's a song in our songbook that sums up this thought so well. Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me, but there is no voice that answers within. And the chorus, dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free, dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, it's Christ living in me. That sums it up. You have died. You have died. You're not hearing those voices anymore. Those old voices are calling, dead to the world, dead to sin. All of those things that once did enthrall me, 'tis not I, but Christ who lives in me. The Apostle Paul said it, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. When you and I went down into that watery grave of baptism, according to chapter 2 and verse 12, it was a demonstration of faith in the working of God. Not a meritorious work, not trying to earn my salvation, but a demonstration of faith in the working of God through Christ Jesus. So how am I to live? What transformation takes place? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things that are above, not on those things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Such a privilege to be a Christian. Such a privilege to think about those things that God has prepared and that God has reserved for us in heaven. But the question is, do you need to die? Do you need to be buried? And do you need to be raised again through the waters of baptism? You know, this is not a plan designed by the wisdom of men. Somebody says, well, that's just what the Church of Christ teaches. This is what is taught here, because this is what is taught in God's Word. And it's in God's Word that there is to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection that happens in our life. And that moves us into Christ. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is the forgiveness of sins. We are resurrected to walk a new life. Think about those old things. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. You need to take that step this morning in being baptized into Christ. We would invite you to do that. We are going to be thinking a prayer as we sing the invitation song. And I want you to participate in this thought prayer during the invitation song, that if there is somebody among us who needs to respond to the gospel of Christ, that Satan will not be allowed to hinder that person, to stop that person, for whatever reason, to have that person rationalize, put off, postpone. As we sing the invitation song, join me in that thought prayer, that Satan will not win. And if any need to respond in that way, that they will be convicted and moved to simply respond to what God says. And Satan will not be allowed to hinder anymore with his lies and his excuses. If you need to respond, that you'll do that as together we stand and sing.